Blog Talk Radio.
I want a heart that forgives, a heart full of love, one with compassion just like yours above, one that overcomes evil, goodness and love, like it never happened, never holding a grudge. Want a heart that forgives, lives and lets live, one that loving over and over again, one that men can't offend because your word is thin, one that loves without price like you, Lord Jesus Christ. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemies. Want a love like you, be like you, just like you. I want a heart that forgives. Want a heart that forgives when the ones that are closest, that I've known the longest, hurt me the most. I still want to love them just like you love me, even though I'm hurt. Want a heart that forgets when the pain is so deep, it's so hard to speak about it to anyone, just like your son. I give up my right to hold it against them with hatred inside. Want a heart that loves everybody, even my enemy. Want to love like you, be like you, just like you did. Want to walk like you, talk like, just like you did. Want to be like you, live like you, just like you did. Cause a heart that forgives is a heart that will live. So the heart that lets go is a heart that will know so much freedom. Lord, I want to let it go.
Hallelujah.
God, I need to let it go. Lord, it's been hard. What to do to get rid of it, but here I am, Lord Jesus. Here I am, oh, here I am, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, I need you, I need you. I know this is me that you're talking to. This is me, this is me, this is me, Lord, this is me. Lord, I let it go. I don't want it no more.
saying,
hallelujah, this is the day the Lord has made, that we are rejoicing and being glad in it. I welcome you to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Amen. Just so blessed to be on the air again. I tell you, God is good. God is just so good and so worthy to be praised, and I praise him. I magnify his name. I exalt his name. I lift his name on high. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We praise God on today because God is worthy to be praised. I said we praise God today because he's worthy to be praised. I welcome you to Woman with Pastor Rebecca. Again, we're on blog and Blab. And for those of you on Blab, feel free to come in anytime and have a seat. Feel free to come in anytime and have a seat. Today we're going to be talking about the topic, Am I My Sister's Keeper? Am I My Sister's Keeper? So that's our topic for today, and I invite you to come in and share with me by phone. I see those of you on blog, and I welcome you. I see those of you on Blab, and I welcome you. Amen. I invite you to call in, to push 1 on your phone at any time so that you could come and be a part of the broadcast. Or you can click to call in to have a seat on Blab, and we'll be able to put you on camera, and you'll be able to give us your opinions and your viewpoints about being your sister's keeper. Now, I wanted to do this talk because of some of the warfare that I have encountered since I have been in this world, since I have been in this world with women in particular, And I guess the reason that women have so many problems with each other is because we interrelate with each other more often than we interrelate with men. So because we are doing things in common, then there are more chances of us not getting along with each other. And as I was thinking about coming on the air today, the Lord brought my attention to the book of Genesis, and I'm not going to go to the scripture or read the text, but he reminded me of the story of Cain and Abel. Even when I put this particular title up, God reminded me of Cain and Abel, where Cain got jealous. Amen. God bless you, Swag Queen. Welcome. Cain got jealous and killed Abel because Abel had a better relationship with God, because God showed favor to Abel. Cain got jealous. And thank you for the love, Swag Queen. God bless you. So Cain killed Abel, and God came to Cain and said, "Where's your brother?" Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And that thing struck a chord with me, because so often we have that same nonchalance when it comes to our sisters. We are killing each other. We are hating on each other. We are hurting each other. Amen. And then we are being nonchalant about it, or acting like it's not that big a deal, when in fact it is a big deal. It is a big deal. When we come in and we begin to allow jealousy, yeah, when we allow jealousy to make us act in a way that's not good towards our sister. Amen. So my question today is, are you your sister's keeper? Well, what does that mean? You might be asking me, what does that mean, Pastor Rebecca? The topic today is, am I my sister's? Amen. God bless you and welcome to Skating Rules. God bless you. Amen. You might ask, what does that mean? Am I my sister's keeper? What does it mean to be your sister's keeper? I believe that we have to get to a point where we are supporting each other, where we are loving each other, where we are praying for each other as women, God bless you. Welcome back. Again, we're talking about being our sister's keeper. So we have to get to a point where we are loving on each other, where we're supporting each other, where we are not jealous of each other, where we're not hating on each other, where we're not pulling each other down or tearing each other down. We have to stop competing with each other. My God, do you not know that you are beautiful? Do you not know that you are wonderfully and fearfully made? Do you not know that God has a great purpose for your life? And he has a purpose specifically for you, which means that there's no one on this earth that can do what you can do. There's no one on this earth that can be you. There's a purpose that has been set aside before you even came to the earth realm. There was a purpose that God ordained for you. And you're the only one that can fulfill your purpose. You're the only one that can do what God called you to do. Now, there are other people that will be doing what you do, but they can't do it the way that you do it. They can't do it the way that you would do it, with your personality, with your flavor, with your intellect, with your thought process. They cannot do it the way that you can do it. So you have to get to a point where you are not intimidated by another woman. I was here on Blab a couple of weeks ago when Dr. Vive had a show about black women hating on each other. And his question as a man, as a black man, was, why do black women hate on each other? And I have to say that's a good question. You know, I would like to say that I have never experienced hatred from another black woman, but that's not the case. I would like to say I've never experienced jealousy and backstabbing from another sister, black or white or any other complexion, but that is not the case. I have been the victim of sister-on-sister hatred. They call it black-on-black crime. I have been the victim of woman-on-woman crime, where we have come to a place where we couldn't even get along with each other. Amen. I've had friends who got to a point where they didn't like me anymore. I mean, they were just fine as long as I was just one of the girls. But when God began to elevate me and put me in a position of power, when I began to move forward and live in my purpose, then these same women that called themselves my friends didn't like me anymore and didn't want anything to do with me. And not only that, the fact is not that they didn't like me or they didn't want to have anything to do with me, but they couldn't leave quietly. They had to ostracize my name on the way out. Come on, somebody. Have you ever had somebody who didn't like you and then they wanted to get out of your life, and on their way out of your life, they slanderized your name, tried to get people to come against you, and tried to stop new people from coming to support you in your business, in your ministry, in whatever endeavor God had for you? Well, I've been there, and I can tell you that it's not a good feeling. So I want to encourage you on tonight to be your sister's keeper. I want to get to a point where we stop hating on each other, where we stop being jealous of each other, where we stop killing each other. Amen. We have to get to the point as women. I don't care if you're in the church or out of the church. You might not be religious. You might not be a Christian. But we have to get to the point where we are treating each other better. You know, we have things called a side chick. You know, when you are a side chick or you are the other woman, you are disrespecting your sister. When you, preacher's kid, God bless you, amen. Good to see you, amen. Brian Taylor, good to see you, amen. When you get to the point where you want to share somebody's man, you are disrespecting your sister. And not only are you disrespecting your sister, but you are disrespecting and dishonoring yourself. you have to have more love and respect for yourself and for your sister than to allow yourself to be the other woman or the chick on the side or the side chick or whatever they want to call it. God did not ordain for you to be second best to anybody. And you have to get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm better than that. I'm better than that. I'm not going to put myself in that position. I'm not going to allow myself to take anybody's sloppy seconds. And God bless you, Carlton. Good to see you. And sometimes what we do is we allow ourselves to be second best, or we allow ourselves to be the woman on the side chick, or the mistress, because we think that that man is going to leave his woman, his wife, to be with us. And I'm telling you, that's the biggest lie that the devil ever told. The devil is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You will not, listen. First and foremost, if he did it to her, he'll do it to you. If he cheated on her, he'll cheat on you. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. Come on, somebody. If he's a cheater, he's a liar, he will cheat and lie. He will cheat on you and lie to you. Amen. So what do you want with somebody else's guy? God has a man for you specifically. And when you lay around with somebody else's man or go sneak around with somebody else's man, you are dishonoring yourself. And you're dishonoring God, too. You're saying, I don't believe God can give me my own man. I don't believe that God can give me my own husband. Amen. So God bless you. Amen. Jesus, the center, God bless you. Amen. So I want to open up the chair for anybody, male or female, to come on and be a part of this broadcast. I have a couple of people on blog, and then I have some people also here on Flab. Am I my sister's keeper? Do you have problems with other women, for the women who are listening? For the men who are listening, have you been a witness to women hating on each other? And what do you think the cause of that is? And then I want to ask you, how can we do better as women? How can we get to a point where we are actually getting along with each other, where we are supporting each other, instead of being like Cain and Abel and killing each other? And, you know, I talked about Cain and Abel, but how about Hannah and Peninnah? Hannah and Peninnah were both fighting over their husband. My God, Peninnah had kids. Hannah didn't have any kids. Peninnah hated Hannah because Hannah's husband, because their husband that they were sharing, loved Hannah more than he loved Peninnah. Come on, somebody. Hannah hated Peninnah because she was able to give her man what she couldn't give him. We need to, I mean, and even though that's biblical and it goes back to the Old Testament, the same thing is happening today, where we are allowing ourselves to come against each other as women because of some man. And I love men. Let me tell you, I have a husband. I have been married to a wonderful man for 19 years, but I have not always been to this place where I am today, where I can say I'm not going to let a man make me come against my sister, because I was the diva. I was the one who walked into the club, and I wanted the attention of every man in the club. I was going to make every head turn. You know, when I walked in, the party started. I was the bar queen. Come on, somebody. So I didn't have a lot of respect when I was out there in the world. I didn't have a lot of respect for my sisters. But then when I became a Christian, when I came into the church, then I got to the point where I was more considerate, so to speak, of my sisters. I became more compassionate to my sisters. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So tonight we're talking about, am I my sister's keeper? We're talking about the problems that we have as women, not just outside of the church, but inside of the church as well. We're talking about how we can bring solutions, because I don't like to just talk about a problem. I want to bring solutions So for those of you on the phone line and those of you who are on Blab, just come on in. Press 1 or call in so that you can take a seat, so that you can talk to me about being my sister's keeper. We have to get to the point. Listen, as women, we have to get to the point where we recognize our own value. You have to know your value. You have to know that you're beautiful. You have to know that any man that gets the opportunity to be in your life is a blessed man. The Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains the favor of the Lord. So you have to know that you're a good thing. I tell women all of the time, you are the blessing. You are the blessing. Stop allowing yourself to be mistreated. Stop allowing yourself to be abused. Stop allowing yourself to be used. Don't let anybody just use you for your body. Don't.
You know, I have women that come to me and say, well, I like sex too, you know, so he's not using me. I might be using him. But what I'm saying to you is it's going to come to a point where you're all used up, and then you're going to want to settle down, but you have married yourself, you have united yourself to all of these dudes along the way, calling yourself having a good time and sexing it up. And then your husband, during the course of that time, may have come and gone. He may have come and taken a look at you and saw you living wild and then decided, no, she's not my wife. I can't take her home to mama. Come on. A man is looking for that woman that he can take home to mama. So we have to get to a point in our lives where we are that woman. You have to get to a point in your life where you honor yourself, where you respect yourself. And a lot of you are there. I'm not saying that you're not there, but I do meet women who are saying, you know what, as long as she's committed to me, we can shack up. We can live together. You know, it's hard to find a good man. I hear that a lot. It's hard to find a good man, so I might as well share hers. Come on. If you're sharing hers, then he's not a good man. Come on, somebody. So we're talking about the fact that when I talk about Cain and Abel and how God dealt with Cain, God dealt with Cain for killing Abel. The same way that God dealt with Cain for killing Abel, he's going to deal with us for dishonoring each other as women. What you reap, you're going to reap. What you give out is going to come back to you. How you treat people is how people are going to treat you. So you have to get to a point where you have to say, do I want this coming back to me? Do I want to sow this? Do I want to be married and then have some woman coming after my husband and being successful? Amen. So you have to determine what it is that you want, and then you have to give that out to your sisters. Amen. We are called to love each other. We're called to respect each other. We're called to do unto each other as we would want done unto us. And you have to get to the point that that's what you're doing. So I'm here to encourage you and to just speak truth. To speak truth and say enough is enough. Let me tell you something. Last year I went to so much hell with women. Hallelujah. And women hating on me. And I'm nice. I mean, I am really nice. I don't just look nice. I'm genuinely nice. But I went through a lot. Amen. And that thing almost took me out. But I thank God that I was able to hold on to the hands of Jesus. Amen. And to know that my purpose was greater than my pain. And that there was no weapon formed against me that could prosper. And that's why I'm still standing by the grace of God. Amen. But I went through a lot. And had I been weaker, that thing would have destroyed me to you right now, amen, about this thing. A preacher's kid says, I think that whether you look at Cain and Abel or Hannah and Penina, there is a partial issue with jealousy. Another aspect for women is in not knowing one's own worth. But you already stated it well. Amen. Thank you so much for that input. And that's coming from a man, women. For those of you on blog, that's coming from a brother. And I pray, come on in and have a seat. I have some women that want to hear from you. And that's coming from a brother who's looking from the outside in. And he tapped on something. That's some great insight, because you tapped on something so wonderful that is so pertinent. Not knowing one's own worth. That's it right there. The main reason that you will be jealous of another woman is because you don't know how wonderful you are. If you don't know your value, if you don't know that God created you with some greatness on the inside of you, I just want you to touch yourself and say, touch your heart and say, greatness is on the inside of me. Say, I have greatness on the inside of me. Amen. And that's a big problem. You know, with Hannah and Penina, the problem is that they were sharing a man. See, they were sharing a man. And back then, it was legal for a man to have two wives. But today, it's not legal and it's not cool. Come on. It's not legal and it's not cool. You don't have to allow yourself to be in a relationship with a man who feels like he has to have another woman. If you're not number one, then there's a problem. Amen. You have to know your worth. You have to be like Queen Esther and take the courage and go to the king. Put on your royal priestly garbs, because you are royalty, and stand up and go to the king and say, you know what? And have tell him, look, it's either going to be me and me alone or nobody. Amen. The king said to Esther, he said, what do you want, Esther? She pleased him so well that he said, I'll give you anything you want up to half the kingdom. God bless you, Alex. Amen. And she told him what she wanted, and she told him about the enemy that was coming against her. In other words, you have to speak up. You have to open your mouth and speak up, but you won't be able to speak up for what you want and what you deserve if you don't know your worth. If you think he's your last, my mama always told me that men come a dime a dozen, and I was crazy enough to believe it. I, like I told you, I've been married for 19 years, but if I was single, I'm bold enough to say I wouldn't have a problem getting not a man but a husband. Come on, somebody. And you have to believe that about yourself, that you don't have a problem getting letting your husband come into your life, drawing that husband to yourself, being a woman of excellence, being a woman of integrity, being a woman of God. I'm talking to women of God. You know I'm a Christian. You know I am a Christian pastor. And when I speak, I am speaking mainly to people of God. I don't come to do motivational speaking or any of that stuff. I know what my lane is. I know what I've been called to do. But as a woman of God, if you have a desire to be married, then you should not compromise to be somebody's midnight sexual pleasure. Amen. You should not compromise to just allow yourself to be the satisfaction of someone's physical need, or even the satisfaction of your own physical need. You need to get into a position where you are locked down. I say clank, clank for Jesus. When you are clanked down for Jesus, amen, and you are holding out for your husband. Amen. Your husband, not another sister's husband, not some man who doesn't want a wife. And don't be unequally yoked. Amen. Make sure you got, I'm off topic anyway. Anyway, but know your value. Know your value. Know who you are. Listen, you might not be everybody's cup of tea, but you are somebody's cup of tea. You might not be see yourself as being the most beautiful woman in the world, but you are a beautiful woman in the world. Come on, somebody. You might not see yourself as valuable, but I need you to change that. I am not going to allow you to not think of yourself as valuable. Amen. So I encourage you to, yes, amen, amen. I will call you by your name. A preacher's kid is Brian. Brian Taylor says Proverbs 31:10 puts it all in perspective. Amen. Who can find a virtuous woman? You know, you have to get to that point where you know that you're that virtuous woman. And if you're not, it's time for you to become that virtuous woman. Especially, I want to talk to all of these women out here who are saying that they are Christian. Especially if you are a Christian woman, you need to read Proverbs 31, starting with verse 10, all the way to the end, and say, this is who I am, and allow that word to begin to manifest itself into your life so that you are that virtuous woman. Amen. Stop feeling like, my God, I just have to settle for anything that life hands me. Stop hating on your sister because she has determined in her heart that she's going to live her life in a way that's pleasing to God. Oh, I said something right there. God is no respecter of persons. He told Cain, sin is crouching at your door, and it desires to have you. It desires to consume you. It desires to destroy you. God told Cain, you can have my favor too if you just do the right thing. Somebody needs to hear me right now. If you just do the right thing. The Bible says when we know to do right and we don't do it, then we are sinning. You are displeasing to God when you are doing things contrary to his will. And God says, if you just do the right thing, I'll bless you. If you become a woman of God, I guarantee you, if you become a true woman of God, not just saved, not just Christian, not just a churchgoer, but begin to live your life, if you're not already, and if you're already there, amen, praise God. But if you begin to live your life and you walk circumspectly before the Lord and you walk in a way that's pleasing to God, minding your own business, going to work on a daily basis, When Boaz found Ruth, what was she doing? Ruth was working in the field. Come on, somebody. And that's what the Bible says, that a single woman has all of the time in the world to work pertaining to the things of the kingdom of God. A married woman has to be more concerned with her household and her husband and her kids. But when you are single, if you find yourself working in the things of God, in the household of God, in the kingdom of God, in the fields of God, doing the work of the Lord, there is a man of God who will see you and say, whoa, man, who is that woman? Who is that lady? When I was in the world, there was a song, who's that lady? Who's that lady? Who's that lady? You know, and there is a man like Boaz who will look at you and say, who is she? I need to take her out to lunch. I need to have coffee with her. I need to have tea with her. So you don't have to be concerned about what your sister is doing. The same thing with success. If you're taking care of God's business, if you're doing what God ordained you to do, if you're living in divine purpose, come on, somebody. If you are living every day to the fullest, if you're living a lifestyle that's pleasing to God, you will have success. My God. You don't have to worry about another woman's success when you are a woman who's living her life on purpose. You don't have to be jealous. You don't have to worry about how many books she wrote, how many CDs she cut, whether she's being elevated in the church. If you do what you're supposed to do, you too will have success. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We have another comment I'm going to read. And again, the chair is open. Brian says, it goes both ways. When God presented Eve to Adam, she found him in the garden working and naming animals. And again, that's a very pertinent point for today. If that man's not working, if he hasn't worked in over a year, if he doesn't intend to work, then he is not the one. Because like the brother said, Adam was working,
Brian said Adam was working when God put Eve in the garden and she ran up on the brother. The brother was tending the garden. He was naming the animals, and he called her Eve, mother of all creation. He did not call her a bee or a hoe or a thot. Come on, somebody. He called her according to who she was, according to who God created her to be. He honored her. He respected her. And it's the same way that we have to make sure, and I was talking about that earlier when I talked about being that chick on the side, that you don't have to allow yourself to be somebody's second best. Amen. You don't have to allow yourself to be with a brother, a man who's not worthy of your time. And maybe you're not worthy, you're not feeling like you're worthy of anybody better. See, you have to be better to get better. See, you have to recreate yourself. You have to cultivate yourself. You have to work on your own issues. You have to work on your own shortcomings. Because you know what, Brian, you know what I find? I find that there are a lot of single women in the church, and there are a lot of single men in the church, but the men are not hooking up with the women, and I am not understanding that. I'm not understanding why the men in the church that say they want to be married are not hooking up with the women in the church that say they want to be married. Maybe that's another blab, but I really am interested in finding out why the men are not marrying the women in the church. Amen? Yeah, that's another blab. Amen. So we're going to do that. I want a panel of men. I told a brother in my church yesterday, Minister Andre. I said, Minister Andre, I want to have a panel with brothers coming on to woman, getting in the three seats and telling us what y'all are looking for in a relationship. Amen? So I really am interested and doing that panel, amen, praise God. To God be the glory. So I'm looking at blog, and I'm looking at blab, and we are moving forward. Again, if you do better, you don't have to worry about another sister. If you go for the best in life, you don't have to be jealous of another sister. Now, let me move. Let me shift. Let me shift to talking about what we can do and how we can help each other. Again, I went through a season in my life where I was ostracized. I've written 6 books, and I'm a preacher. I go out and I preach at different conferences, but I found myself being ostracized. I found myself being persecuted. I found my name being slandered by women that I have helped. I found myself on the outside looking in. Amen. And that thing hurt me. I couldn't understand it. But what God told me to do through this whole process was to keep on loving. God says, don't stop loving your sister. Don't stop loving. Do not allow bitterness to take root in your heart. Do not allow yourself to get bitter over the fact that they're treating you this way. So that's what I want to pass on to you. The Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. See, we have to realize that the thief, the devil, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the devil will use people that you love to hurt you. So what you have to do is realize when you are being wounded by somebody that you love, you have to realize that that's a spiritual attack. That's a spiritual attack. Or even when you're being when people are coming against you and you haven't done anything to them, that is a spiritual attack. So what you have to do is first identify that you are under attack. Amen. It may not be physical. Nobody's hitting you, but you're taking hits in the spirit realm. So once you realize that you're taking hits in the spirit realm, you have to make sure that you have on your armor.
You have to put on the full armor of God. You have to put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the readiness of peace to spread the gospel. Amen. Pick up the shield of faith. And pick up your sword, which is the word of God. Make sure that you have a prayer life. Go into prayer. Go into combat, my God. Tell God on your enemy. Amen. Tell God about that person that's coming against you. Make sure you have on your armor. Amen. Watch the area of attack. What's being attacked? Is it by lies? If lies are coming against you, make sure that your waist is girded. Amen. With truth. Amen. Make sure that you're wrapped in the truth. Amen. Make sure that there's not an open door, that you're not lying, that there's not a little white lie that you have told that opened the door for this attack to come. That you're not sowing lies. Amen. So wrap yourself in truth and wrap yourself in the word of God. Amen. Wrap yourself. The Bible says that the spirit of truth shall come. Amen. The Holy Ghost. Amen. Make sure that you are constantly slipping into the spirit realm and abiding in the presence of the Most High God. There's power in the presence of God. So make sure that you're slipping into the presence and soaking in the atmosphere of the holiest of holies, my God. Make sure you're soaking in the presence of God, because there is an anointing that breaks every yoke. Come on, somebody. There is an anointing, so make sure that you shift into that secret place. The Bible talks about abiding in the shelter of the Most High, getting into that secret place, the shadow of his wings, my God, that he will cover us in the shadow of his wings. And God will begin to replenish your power. God will begin to stoke your power. You will get anointing, my God, just by being in God's presence. See, when we draw near to God, God draws near to us, and the enemy has to flee. So you have to make sure that you are exercising the word, my God. You have to put feet to the word of God. You have to make sure that you're walking out the word. You can't just talk the word, but you have to walk the word. My God, that's why you have to have your feet shod. See, if it's a attack against your destiny, make sure you're walking out the word. Make sure your feet are shod with the gospel. Make sure that you have the gospel on your feet so that you can put the devil under your feet, my God. Make sure that you're walking forward, my God. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. And make sure that you're moving forward by faith. And that means that no weapon formed against you can prosper. See, the weapon will be formed, but it can't prosper. Jesus said the gates of hell cannot prevail against my church. See, the church is not the building. It's not just the building that we go into on Sunday morning. You are the church. I am the church. And we have to realize that the gates of hell will come, but they cannot prevail against us. Hallelujah. So you have to continue to move forward knowing, I'm moving forward. Hallelujah. And as long as I'm walking with Jesus, nothing can hurt me. Nobody can hurt me. Hallelujah. And then you got to make sure that you have the shield. The shield of faith is going to cover your heart. The shield of faith is going to stop you from getting bitter when they throw the arrows, when the enemy sends his arrows your way. The shield of faith is going to not allow the arrows to penetrate your heart. See, you might be under attack right now, but if you put on your armor, you will be able to stand, and you will be able to stand in the power of God's might. You pick up that shield of faith. It says, above all else, Ephesians chapter 6 says, above all else, the shield of faith, so that you can ward off the fiery darts of the evil one, of the enemy, my God. Pick up that shield of faith so that you don't let the darts hit your heart. See, the darts want to hit your heart. The devil wants you to get a cold heart. The devil wants you to get a stony heart. The devil wants you to get a bitter heart. See, because if you get a bitter, cold, stony heart, then your power will stop. Oh, because your love, your power flows from a heart of love. The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it come all of the issues of life. Amen. So you want to make sure that you are guarding your heart, You want to make sure that you got that shield of faith. See, the shield of faith says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though I'm going through hell right now, I'm going to trust God. Though they're coming against me, my sister is coming against me, I'm having a hard time with her right now, I'm going to keep loving her because I know that my love is going to lift her up out of this thing that she's going through, this thing that she's walking through right now. My love is going to prevail against all of the fiery darts that she's going to throw against me. And I'm not going to allow myself to stoop to her level. See, you can't allow yourself to stoop to the level of somebody who's coming against you. Pick up that shield of faith. If it's an attack against your mind, if they're lying, trying to make you believe that you are inadequate, that you're not enough, if jealousy is coming against another sister, then put on that helmet of salvation, that helmet of salvation. See, people don't understand that when we say we're saved, that means we're saved against anything that the devil will send our way, sin, sickness, death, and Satan no longer have any power over us. Amen. When you are saved, sozo, that means that you are divinely protected from anything that Satan can or this world can send your way. Nobody can hurt you. But you have to walk in love. God told me when they were coming against me, he said, walk in love. I was crushed. Let me tell you something. The crushing, and I want to say this to you too, my brother Brian, the crushing is going to release the anointing. The crushing is going to release the anointing. What you're going through right now, what you're going through, any hateration, anything that you might be going through, I know you didn't come here by chance. I know there are people, I got to release this word to you, Brian. I know there are people that don't understand you. I know that there are people that perhaps have hurt you, perhaps have walked away from you. You might be going through some form of persecution right now, but God is saying continue to walk and operate in love. God has put there's a divine assignment over your life, my God, and it's greater than the attack that's coming against your life. See, the attack is on this dimension. The attack is on this level. But the assignment is on this level. There's a higher assignment over your life that God has for your life. And God says you're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, and he's allowing this thing to propel you to a higher dimension in him. Hallelujah. So that you can walk out your destiny. And delay is not denial. My God, delay is not denial. You have gone through some delays. It might seem like it's taking longer than you anticipated for God to manifest what he spoke into your life. But God wants you to know today that just because it's been delayed does not mean that it can be taken away, because God is saying, if I spoke it, and he did, I hear God saying, I did speak that thing to you. It was late in the midnight hour, and I see you prevailing before the Lord. I see you crying out before the Lord. And God spoke to you, and it brought you great comfort and great peace to hear the voice of the Lord for that particular situation. And God says, because I spoke it, it shall come to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But there is an anointing that destroys every yoke. And when you are crushed, like I have been crushed, and like some of you who are listening have been crushed, you can endure that crushing. Listen, the only reason God allowed it is because you could handle it. And the reason that he allowed it and that he wanted you to handle it is because he needs you to have a greater anointing for where he has ordained to take you, where he's taking you, for the assignment that he has on your life. See, it's not just about you hating your sister or your brother or your brother or sister coming against you. It's about the divine plan that God has for your life. See, woman of God, it's not just the fact that you're beautiful, that you're anointed. You're not beautiful and anointed for no reason. You're beautiful and anointed for God's glory. God's going to get the glory out of your life. God's going to get the glory out of your life. But see, the attack is coming to get you caught up in the flesh. Oh, the attack is coming to get you caught up in the flesh.
See, the devil knows that if you're operating in the flesh, you can't operate in the supernatural realm. You cannot fulfill your supernatural call if you're in the flesh. See, we have to shift out of the natural into the supernatural in order to operate in the power and the might of God. There are three words for God's power. The first one is dunamis. We have, well, there may be more than three, but three that I have studied out and I want to talk about right now. The first one is dunamis. Dunamis power. That's dynamite. That's electric. That's a power that nothing and no one can stand against. When that power is released, then healing will take place, deliverance will take place, enemies will scatter. That's the power of the dunamis, the Holy Ghost, that's been deposited on the inside of you as a believer. So you have dunamis power at your disposal. So you have that dunamis power. That's the same power that the woman of with the issue of blood experienced when she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. My God. So we as women of God, when we feel ourselves getting jealous of another sister or hating on another sister or beginning to want to show disregard for another sister, we have to tap into the dunamis power that's on the inside of you so that that power can explode and burn up all of that negativity and burn up all of that hatred and all of that jealousy and insecurity that you're experiencing. Amen. Dunamis power. The second word is exousia. That's the word, for the Greek word for the power of the spoken word, the authority that's in our mouth. Amen. You have the power of God in your mouth. So when you open your mouth against another person, when you open your mouth against another sister, your words have power. So you don't have to pick up a knife and stab her in the back. You stab her when you open your mouth and talk about her. You murder her with your words. Amen. You have to know how powerful your words are. And the same thing, when people are coming against you, the Bible says you have the power to silence every wagging tongue. I feel God. You have the power to silence every wagging tongue. Amen. You have that power. So why do you want to hate on somebody? Why would you be jealous of somebody? Why would you be afraid? Why would you be intimidated by another sister who has power, who has beauty, who has authority, who has purpose, who's married and doing things for God, who's set on fire for God, who's a human torch, my God, for Jesus. You have that same power. God told Cain, you can have it too. Look at Hannah. She just went before the Lord. She prayed. She cried out to God, and she got what she wanted. She got her own baby. She had Samuel, who was the last, who was one of the last prophets before the king. He was the one, Samuel was the one who ordained Saul. He was the one who ordained Saul. He was the one who ordained David. My God, greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that's in the world. But watch this. Greater is what's on the inside of you than what's in this world. Greater is the purpose and what God's going to birth out of you, women of God, than that jealousy, than that hatred, than that backbiting and backstabbing, than persecuting another sister. Oh, I tell you, God is good. Amen. I'm getting wrapped up. The chair is open. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, Lima. Amen. God bless you. The chair is open. I'm going to go off the air in about, what time is it? About 5 minutes. So the chair is open. You could come on in the chair, but greater is on the inside of you. So that's the second word for power. It's exousia. The third word for power is kratos. Kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. That's the Greek word for the power of God's might. That's the power that God talks about when he says stand in the power of his might in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. My God. If you have exousia, that's the dynamite power, the virtue of Jesus Christ, the virtue of the Holy Ghost that can be released for miracles, signs, and wonders on the inside of you. If you have exousia, that's the power of your spoken word, the power of your mouth,
operating through you as you open your mouth and begin to speak things and declare a thing and decree a thing and speak to that mountain and silence wagging tongues. And if you have crossroads, that's the power of God. After you've done all to stand, standing in the power of his might, if you have all of that working for you, why would you be jealous of another sister? Why would you be jealous of another person? Why would you be intimidated by somebody? Why would you not want to lift up somebody else? If you have that greatness on the inside of you and you know it, what would stop you from going out to extend a hand to your sister and even for the brothers here to extend a hand to your brother? When you know who you are, when you have confidence of who God has created you to be, you won't have time to hate. You will only heal. You will only help. You won't have time to hinder. You won't have time to murder. You will only have time to say, sister, what can I do for you? How can I be a help to you? I'm going to close on this and let somebody take the seat. The seats are open. The block, you can press one if you want to talk to me. I went to a conference this weekend. That's why I'm a little tired. I was moving a little slow today because I was at a conference Friday, Saturday, and then yesterday we were at church. And I went to a conference yesterday. Over this weekend, I met Dr. Millicent Hunter. She's on TCG, powerful preacher woman. If you go to Facebook, you'll see my picture with her. This woman has two doctorates, two masters, and all kinds of degrees. But this woman was so humble. And when I went over to her to get the book signed, this woman took the time to talk to me. She wasn't haughty. She didn't look down on me. Now, I don't have a big church. I'm not. They don't know me. She doesn't know me. I'm an unknown, and that's okay because Jesus knows my name. Amen. And I know I'm doing what God called me to do. But this woman looked me in my face. She signed my book. She asked me about my church. She was a blessing to me. She got up after she preached with everything in her, and she took a picture with me. She was a blessing. Amen. And then I went back on Saturday, and I met another powerful woman of God, Reverend Lenore Artis. And that woman, again, I took a picture with her. You want to capture pictures with people who support you. Stop trying to run after people who are not running after you. But this woman, Reverend Lenore Artis, has this group on Facebook, I Am a Woman Preacher. And she has poured into me over the last year while my husband was diagnosed with cancer, while I was being ostracized and persecuted, while I was hurting and in so much pain, but still doing the work of the Lord. And this woman embraced me. I stood up and I began to speak, and I was weeping. And this woman ran over to me from the front row to the middle of the church and threw her arms around me and embraced me, and she hugged me, and she cried with me. And she said, oh, I love you, and I'm so proud of you. And on Facebook, we're talking about each other because we both blessed each other. Dr. Millicent Hunter, Reverend Lenore Artis, and Pastor Rebecca Simmons, three powerful women of God who were able to embrace each other and not be intimidated by each other and not be jealous of each other. I mean, they have no reason to be jealous of me. And I know by God, by the grace of God, I have no reason to be jealous of them. But all I want to do is lift my sisters up, three women who were able to love on each other and not hate on each other. And that's what I'm cultivating in my life in this season. And I had my sister with me, one of my members, Sister Lori, and the same thing. We embrace each other. We love each other. I don't lord it over her because I'm her pastor. I don't try to make her do anything. She serves me out of the love of her heart, and I bless her because every chance I get, I pick her up for church. I ride 20 minutes out of the way to pick her up for church because I am my sister's keeper. Amen. So as I go off the air, I thank you for being with me on today. I thank you, Brian, for staying with me, keeping me company, amen, and being with me while I talk about this topic that's very dear to my heart. I tell you, my sister Janice, when we were growing up, she didn't like me. We were rivalries. We were sisters. And I didn't like her. She was 3 years older than me. But when I came into the pastor, I became her pastor. And she got saved for real, you know. I mean, she began to get an understanding of the gospel through my ministry. And I preached her eulogy when she went home to be with the Lord. She struggled with drugs and alcohol all of her life because she was raped when she was 13 years old. And she could never get out from under that. And so many women are hurting. So many women are going through. And you never know what a woman is going through. So God forbid, if you're the one that will push that woman to an early grave because you didn't love her, because you didn't embrace her, because you didn't support her, because you tried to murder her with your mouth, because you hated on her, because you didn't support her. So I want to encourage you, be your sister's keeper. Be your sister's keeper, amen. Support your sister, love on your sister, amen. And be you. Be the greatest you that you can be. Amen. My time is up. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you so much. My brother said, I love supporting my sister in Christ. Brian, I thank you. And I'm going to be there to support you as well. My husband and I will be doing a blab on marriage, making marriage and relationships work. We wrote the book, Making Marriage and Relationships Work. And he's here now, and we're going to be doing a blab on marriage and relationships. So God bless you. Good night. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Here I am again, Lord.